And it tells us there at the end of the chapter that the crowd was astonished at what Jesus had taught them. It's speaking to us of the whole of the Sermon on the Mount. It tells us of the reaction that there was among the people when Jesus closed his sermon there. It tells us of the whole of the sermon. At the same time, what a way to finish this sermon. And surely when the people were listening to Jesus and they were hanging on to his every word, the way in which he brings this sermon to a conclusion also brought astonishment among the people that he spoke differently from the scribes, those who were not teaching with authority as Jesus was, but rather passing on traditions from the past, or even writing new traditions. But the way Jesus speaks is with authority, and that is shown to us here in this last part of the Sermon on the Mount. The authority with which Jesus speaks, and it is, we must say, astonishing, the authority of Jesus Christ. We look at the authority with which he speaks here at the end of the Sermon on the Mount. He's not having a newfound authority. This is the same authority that has carried through the Sermon on the Mount. It's the authority of God as he is God, authority that rightly belongs to him. Yet here at the end of the Sermon on the Mount, his authority is brought into sharp focus for us, and it made crystal clear to us the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ. The authority that he has, that he can rightly speak of every person, and rightly speak of every person and their relationship to God. Here in this passage, he is speaking about the well-being or otherwise of every single person. He is speaking about the well-being or otherwise of every single person. There is nobody who is not included in the scope of what Jesus says here in these verses. Everyone then who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on a rock. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. Jesus has the authority to speak of every single person. He has authority to speak authoritatively about the eternal condition of every single person. He speaks about everyone here without exception. He has authority to speak about everyone and of everyone and to everyone. He has authority to speak about what everybody does and what the outcome will be. There's something in the fallen human nature that resists that. Remember, Paul addresses it in the letter of the Romans where he speaks about the relationship what people, the relationship between people and God, and the way he describes it as a relationship between the pot and the potter. Can the one who is being moulded say to the one who moulds him, "I do not like what you're doing. You shouldn't be doing that"? God has the authority to make vessels for honourable and dishonourable use. We are aware, I'm sure, of the it's often mentioned in our times, isn't it, about the resistance to authority, the kind of an anti-authoritarianism. But here we have one who has authority and has rightful authority over all. He is the one by whom, through whom, and for whom all things were made. He says that the people may be divided into two, those who are like the wise man who built his house on a rock, and those who are like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. Every person who hears his words, he says, is like either one or the other. Like either one or the other. The difference that we find, Jesus says, the difference that distinguishes them is the putting into practice what Jesus says. The one who hears his words and does them is like the wise man. But the one who hears these words and does not do them is like a foolish man. I want to notice then, as we look first at what Jesus has to say about the wise man, that we notice that there are two parts to the wise man. There are two aspects that make up the wise man in Jesus' telling of the story. The one who is wise, he says, has two parts: the hearing of the word of God and the putting it into practice. Everyone who hears these words of mine and does them. Notice that Jesus is highlighting that in our relationship to God, we cannot stop. We cannot think that we are following obediently the word of God if we are only hearing the word of God and not putting it into practice. Jesus is saying that we must know this, that hearing the word of God must be followed by putting it into practice. That these are the two parts that make up the wise man. He's not made of one part only, the hearing only. He's made of two parts, the hearing and the putting it into practice. The one who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on a rock. This is also a teaching found in other parts of the scripture. One of the things sharing with one of the members of the church this week in conversation, isn't it so helpful to us the way that the Bible puts the same teaching in so many different ways to us? The same teaching in so many different ways to us. So Jesus is here speaking of, this is crucial that you hear the word of God and you put it into practice. And we read in James chapter 1, verse 22, be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks intently at his natural face in a mirror. For he looks at himself and goes away and at once forgets what he was like. But the one who looks into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and perseveres, being no hearer who forgets, but a doer who acts, he will be blessed in his doing. The letter of James often described as a very practical letter, yes, and a very practical letter. And here's a practical tip: if one is seeking blessing in Christian life, he says he will be blessed in his doing. You see, there can be that disposition of, I will do once I am blessed. But the scripture says, no, it's really the other way round. You do, and you will be blessed in your doing. What a spur that is in Christian life to put into practice what we hear. He will be blessed in his doing. Each and every person, without exception, again, the authority of Jesus Christ, there's no exception to this. No exception. Everyone who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on a rock. Similarly, in verse 26, he speaks again, the authority of Christ without exception, that everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them would be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. Notice there that as we saw, there are two parts that make up the wise man, the hearing, and then that is followed by the putting into practice. We notice here that there are also two parts that Jesus is describing here of the foolish man, the one who is like a foolish man who built his house in the sand. And the first part is the same as the first part of the wise man, that he hears the word of God. But where there is the difference and where the difference lies in Jesus is saying is that one puts the word of God into practice, but the other does not. One follows and does, the other only hears and does not do, which is really, really a way of rejecting the word of God. It's a rejection of the word of God. A hearing of the word, but a rejection of the word. Jesus is saying this happens. Jesus is warning this among the people that he is speaking to here in the Sermon on the Mount. And as the scripture tells us, over time nothing changes either. This is also found today. A hearing of the word, but a rejection of it. Jesus is saying that to do that is to be like a foolish man who builds his house on the sand. So Jesus teaches with authority and teaches with respect to everybody. and without exception. I want to notice another feature of the story that Jesus tells here. A feature that is found in both parts when he speaks of the wise man, the one who is like the wise man, the one who is like the foolish man. Two different aspects here. One is, there is building going on. There is building going on. And secondly, the elements that come in, the rain, the flood, the wind. Two parts here of this story of Jesus that he says are common to everybody that he is speaking to. Building. Building. The wise and foolish are not distinguished in this. Both are building. Both are building. Both are building homes. So he describes in verse 24 the wise man who built his house. And in verse 26, the foolish man who is doing the same, he is building his house as well. Remember when Jesus spoke of his return and his coming, and he said that he described what would be happening when he returns, and that is that ordinary life would be happening as usual. People eating, drinking, marrying, being given in marriage, building homes. This is part of, very much part of human life. And it's something which is found indiscriminately as well, the building of houses. It's not that the wise man is building his house and the foolish man is not building his house. Both are building their houses. So this is a common thread in the story, as are the elements that come that test these buildings. The rain, the flood, and the wind. The rain fell, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house in verse 25. And then exactly the same thing happens to the man who is like a foolish man building his house in the sand. Exactly the same thing happens. The rain fell and the floods came and the winds blew and beat against that house. So Jesus is highlighting here for us, and he's giving us an insight into life. He's giving us insight into Christian life. As well, that both the wise man and the foolish man experience these same conditions. The same conditions. And these conditions are adverse conditions. Jesus is preparing his disciples for adverse conditions, adversity in life. Adversity in life. We would like fair weather. We have had fair weather outside today. But we might like fair weather in life. No adversity in life. Christianity is not an escape from adversity. It's not an escape from adversity. What Christianity is a house that stands in adversity. Christianity is not an escape from adversity. It's a house that stands in adversity and after adversity. The house is still there. 1 Peter chapter 1 speaking, addressing the church, you who by God's power are being guarded through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you rejoice, though now, for a little while if necessary, you've been grieved by various trials, so that the tested genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold, that perishes though it is tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honour at the revelation of Jesus Christ. This is what God is doing in giving us Christian faith, is giving us a house that will stand. Therefore, James chapter 1, count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds, for you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. This is what Jesus is describing, isn't it? A house that stands, a house that remains when these rains come and the floods come and the winds blow and the house is beaten up. But it didn't fall because it had been founded on a rock. Romans chapter 5. We rejoice in our sufferings. Not only that, but we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character. Character produces hope, and hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit, who has been given to us. Again, what God gives to us and what he promises for us is not a carefree life. What he promises for us is a house that will stand when the rain comes and the flood comes and the wind beats against the house. Isn't this shown? Again, one of the things we've been saying through the Sermon on the Mount is that Jesus practiced what he preached and preached what he practiced. And this is, again, Jesus not as one who stands and only tells us what to do, but one who's describing his own life. He's describing his own life. The rain, the flood, the wind, the beating, the scourging, all that he suffered. He died. He was buried. But this house stands, as it tells us in Hebrews, appointed by the power of an indestructible life. An indestructible life. That is the life of Christ. And so this great torrent comes upon him. Even death comes upon him. Yet his house stands and he lives. He rises from the tomb. And he calls us into his house. That whatever the rain, the flood, the winds, and the pain, the adversity, the damage that it does, nonetheless, you stand in Christ Jesus. Through suffering, it tells us in Hebrews chapter 5, verse 7, he was made perfect. He always was perfect, but he was made perfect in this fulfillment of the work that God had for him, and he became the source of eternal salvation to all who obey him. Notice the words that are used, the ones who obey him. He became a source of salvation to those who obey him, not hearers only, but doers. Obedience. This is what God seeks and what he provides in Christ Jesus, hearing the word and obedience. We see then that Christianity in practice doesn't promise an avoidance of troubles. Rather, what is offered and given is a firm foundation and a house that will outlast troubles. And when we think of the troubles that this house withstands, these are not small troubles. These are not small troubles. We think of in Romans chapter 8, verses 35 to 39. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, danger, or sword? No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels nor rulers, nor things present nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. These are mighty rains, enormous floods, these powers that are way beyond our powers, yet unable to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. What is it that makes the difference? What is it that distinguishes the house that stands from the one that doesn't? Well, one thing we notice from what Jesus says is he speaks about wherein the difference lies. He speaks about wherein the difference lies. I mean, notice that in saying where the difference lies, we'll come to that in a moment, he is also saying to us wherein the difference doesn't lie. Sometimes it may seem that the difference, where the wisdom comes from, is the rain or the flood or the winds, the experience of adversity. But we notice that it's not the rain, the flood, or the wind that makes one wise. If that was the case, the story would be that the foolish man built his house in the sand, and the rain came, the flood came, the wind came, and so he built his house on the rock. But what Jesus says is, the rain came, the flood came, the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. Now, it may be that God in his providence uses circumstances and his providences in order to draw his people back to himself. But we notice that it's not these external things that make one wise. It's not the circumstances that distinguish the wise man from the foolish man. Rather, the difference lies in this, that Jesus says, it's through hearing the word and doing it. Through hearing the word and doing it. And it's especially in the matter of doing it, isn't it? Because both the wise and the foolish hear the word in this parable. But only the wise man is the one who does it. Well, to do it, there is a need to hear it. So what Jesus is saying here is that the critical matter is this. The critical matter is this. To be obeying the word of God. And the only way in which one can obey the word of God is through hearing the word of God. Again, Paul speaks about this in Romans chapter 10, where he speaks of the preaching of the word of God. He asks the questions of How can anyone hear unless one is preaching? And how are they to preach unless they are sent? So faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. It's essential then in our own thinking and our own understanding of Christian life and the weighty matters that Jesus speaks of here, the critical importance of hearing the word of God that one may then obey it. That we're not found to rely instead on the wind or the flood or the rain, these adversities that are faced in life, that all face in life in different degrees, but all face it, Jesus says. The great matter is to hear the word of God and to obey it. That therein, he says, as one does that, he is like a wise man who builds his house on the rock. Remember in Matthew chapter 13 when Jesus described explained the parable of the sower, and he spoke of the whole parable. What was this sowing that was going on? What he said the sowing was the word of God, was the word of God. And the whole parable was explained in terms of the hearing of the word of God. This is the great matter that is before us, the importance of hearing the word of God and putting it into practice. One has heard the word of God and put it into practice. The other has heard the word of God and has not put it into practice. And there is the outcome. One house stands, but the other house falls. Jesus is speaking. One last feature to pick up on here that helps us to grasp what Jesus is speaking of. It's the word that he uses in both descriptions of the wise and the foolish, and thinking of the word of God and hearing it and putting it into practice. He says he is like a wise man, and the one who does not put the word into practice is like a foolish man. So what Jesus is speaking about is he's not giving counsel to us as to where we build properties, although there's counsel here for building properties. And what he's speaking about is really there is a greater matter than how one's building is affected by the elements. He's speaking here about the great day that is to come. The day of the Lord. The day of judgment. And Jesus is saying, prepare for this day that is to come. Hear my word. Put it into practice. And you will be like the wise man who built his house on a rock. And while the judgment of God came, the house stood. The scriptures tell us of that day, speak of it in many ways. One of them is one of the ways in which it speaks is people hiding behind the rocks to escape the wrath of God, but they find no refuge there. It is inescapable and unrelenting, that day of judgment. So then, critical to hear the word of God and to put it into practice. Jesus is speaking about what will happen on that day and how you and I are to prepare for it. Jesus Christ has authority over all. By raising him from the dead, he has appointed him as judge. To build a house that lasts, to last that day, requires both hearing the word of God and doing it. To hear the word of God and to do it is to build a house that will last. And why? Why is Jesus saying this to the people? Why is it here? It's because God's word and his desire is for the preservation and the flourishing of life. That we would know not only what is good in this world, but the solid joys and lasting treasures that none but Zion's children know. Let us pray.